My name is Nicole Braun, and you're listening to The Woo-Woo Report, a weekly podcast where we celebrate the woo-woo lifestyle and dig deeper to get our mystical questions answered.
Okay, so I am so excited about this interview. I've been working with Liv for, I want to say, a little over a month now.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's good. I'm like, I also have no concept of time. So this is an episode that I think is going to open up a lot of curiosity for folks. So we're talking today with Liv Vazquez. Did I say that right?
Vazquez.
God.
Very close.
It's like my brain goes to mush. It's okay.
Anyway. It's totally okay.
And your company is Livy Smalls. Mm-hmm. And you work in plant medicine.
Yes.
And before we get into all the goodness of your amazing work, I wanted to know what your sun sign is and if you know your moon and your rising as well.
So my sign is Cancer, and then my moon is Aries, and my rising is Cancer. So pretty Cancer in there.
Watery Cancer. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. I think I knew that you were Cancer sun or rising, but I didn't realize it was like a double Cancer
situation. Yeah.
That's funny. Well, that makes so much sense with a lot of the events you throw, because that's like such a big Cancer love language, is like big dinner gathering things. With,
oh my
like,
gosh. Friends. Totally.
So much sense. Okay. What is your favorite crystal and why?
I definitely would say selenite. For me, it's like a tuning fork. It's just like, if I have selenite around me, which I usually do, I can not only get downloads easier, but it just is like a calming, gets me down to my base level of like understanding and calms me down, but also just helps me get in tune with the things that I need to get downloads about. So that's definitely my most coveted like crystal for sure.
What is a daily ritual you do?
Get in water. I mean, I'm definitely a water sign, but I also feel like that's when I get a lot of my downloads, in like the bath or the shower. And I'm just very drawn to water. So it's something that's like very important. Like I feel out of sorts if I haven't like taken that time to get in water for the day. So that's definitely a daily for me. And then for my morning kind of ritual, I'm always putting some form of hemp or CBD into my routine so that I feel, for me, it makes me feel more kind of up. It's more awakening for me. Some people, it makes them very relaxed and tired, sleepy, but for me, it's very stimulating. So I'll have some CBD in the morning and I have to get in the water. And those are my two must-dos pretty much every day.
If you could describe your work in three words, what would they be?
This one was hard. I definitely have thought about this a bit, but I think that it's just healing with knowledge. It's more or less like giving people the tools that they need to feel empowered to go on their own healing journey. And I think that education and knowledge is the best way to do that. So it's healing with knowledge, I think.
So tell us a bit of your backstory and how you got into plant medicine and why you chose this as your career path.
My backstory is kind of a little all over the place. I was a chef, and I am a chef, and I started culinary school really young. And I was someone who was, I had lived through trauma, but I was very, I did not like to be inhibited. I did not like to feel drunk or high or intoxicated. So that was a response to my childhood trauma, was needing to feel completely in control. So I was very straight edge. I was very like clean and sober. And then I started working in kitchens when I was about 16. I went to culinary school, and then I graduated when I was 18 and started opening restaurants with Universal Studios. So it was kind of rapid fire that I went from just being a high school student to being a restaurateur. And in that time, I got a back injury. So when I was like 19 or 20, I'd been living with this back injury, and I was now taking pills, which felt very wrong just intuitively. And my mom actually was like, here is a joint. Please smoke this joint and take a bath and see if it helps your back. And it really did. It was, I literally still remember like the music that was playing when I took that bath and like how I felt. And that made me really want to dig deeper into plant medicine, because I was a chef and someone who worked in a kitchen, worked in restaurants. These are a lot of people who have no insurance, no healthcare, but they have a dealer of some sort. So I definitely started using cannabis, but I wanted to learn more about it and why it worked for me when other things made me feel like pain in my liver and kidneys. I really started looking into more plants. And my mom was pretty woo-woo herself. She was Wiccan, and she had a really great connection to a lot of different growers. So I was able to kind of ask questions and learn a little bit more, but there wasn't enough knowledge, really. There wasn't enough research. So I moved to Oregon, and we had started to legalize here. We had a medical program in Oregon, and I basically just started taking on clients as case studies, people who were dealing with trauma or sickness, and started helping them over time. And then we legalized here recreationally. And people really were taking the recreational out of it and saying, okay, now I have access to plants. I want to know what I can use for different things. And I realized other states around us, like Washington, were not allowed to educate about the plants that they were selling. They are limited in their jargon. So it really made me want to know as much as possible, because I saw people who had no medical program because they got rid of the medical program in Washington, and now they couldn't ask questions in their dispensary or to their doctor, coming over the border to Oregon and having questions about their sickness that they really wanted answers to. So I started working with doctors who specialized in PTSD and trauma, and doctors who specialize in cancer research, to kind of understand what different plants had different effects as far as cannabis, but other plants on people with extreme trauma of different kinds, and then also extreme physical traumas. And then their caretakers, you know, people who are taking care of them also need some relief because they're living in their own trauma of taking care of someone who's ailing or might be dying. All of that just really informed me on how to use plants in different varieties, because there is also the gut brain, which is really tied into depression. There's lower back pain that can give you depression. There's different parts of our bodies that can cause different reactions in our brain. And it's kind of incredible to know that we can use plants, and the plants that grow around us are usually the most helpful for our specific needs. And I just empower people now to use those plants and give them small doses of it, so that they can feel more in control and take control of their health. And it was literally life-changing to be able to take control of my own health and not have kidney pain, to have my own personality from, you know, taking muscle relaxers and painkillers to just smoking a joint was very different lifestyle change for me, but it also changed the rest of my body, not just my back pain. So I think that giving that to other people was just felt like the kindest thing I could do. So I went full steam ahead and started putting up pop-up restaurants all over the country to share this information with people and give them tools. And then also working with people on a one-on-one basis to use plants for their trauma and find their comfort zone, especially when people don't have access to doctors or doctors who will listen to them when they're talking about their own body and what they think they need. I think that a service like what I do can be very helpful to people because it gives them permission to take control over their health in a lot of ways. So yeah, kind of a long, twisted journey, but it's brought me here. And it feels like now what I do just feels like it makes the most sense out of everything I've done in my past. It just makes more sense to help people eat plants and feel better. So that's more or less how I got here.
So we work in sessions, you and I. What is, before we get into our work together, what is a typical session with you like with a client?
So, I mean, I'm sure you can probably say the same. There's no like real typical. I feel like they all can be very different. The sessions are really like talking about trauma and having people feel, inform me of their trauma and their triggers, and then finding what points in their life that they feel like they need the most relief. And that sometimes that's just a lot of talking and like talk therapy. I think it's important for people to feel heard and to feel like someone's listening to the things that stress them out. And so there's a lot of that kind of figuring out where their trauma lies and what could be triggering to them day to day, and the plant tools that I can equip them with to help with that, to help with those triggers. And it's really just being there for someone. I think that we live in a world that is, a lot of people don't feel cared for. Like they feel like they have friends or they have like groups, but especially with, I work a lot with people who work in different realms of healing and spirituality. And I think that healers really need healing. There's a lot of trauma that usually brings healers into their awake state of knowing what they need to do. And I use that term very generally. I know that some people, like I definitely say the term healers because I think that that can be a lot of different people, but I also know there's a lot of like stigma tied to that. But I do feel like there are people who have their own energies that they can put out to help people heal. And those people also need a reset, a caretaking of their own. So my sessions with them or just kind of seeing what caretaking they need and trying to fill in the blanks and help them feel nourished and cared for and give them the tools to kind of avoid triggers.
And such a good segue about our work. It's not like I stumbled upon you. I was referred to you by a friend. And because I wanted to explore more plant medicine, about a year ago, I got off Adderall. I was on Adderall and that was poison. And I found some ways. There's a certain, I think it's called Makuna Pruin or something. There's some kind of, some potion makes it that helped with like my dopamine levels, but I wasn't finding anything that was helping with my anxiety. And I also wanted to explore more on like how to be able to work with plant medicine in my spiritual practice with downloads and just connecting to the other side and just kind of playing with it, I guess, per se. But I really, because I have a child, I wanted to find like, I'm not someone that, you know, would be like, I'm going to go, I don't know. I can't even remember what it's called. There's like, it's really illegal in this country, but you can go to like South America and take it. I don't remember what it's called. Ashwanga? Is that it? No.
Oh, ayahuasca?
Ayahuasca. I've heard it. Those are amazing, but it's like, that's not suitable for my lifestyle. I wanted something that I could use in like a daily ritual practice in some way or weekly ritual practice. And I wanted it to, be able to fit into my lifestyle. And I wanted to explore microdosing, and I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, psilocybin. Is that how you say it?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, psilocybin. So as a disclaimer for everyone listening, both Liv and I, we practice out of Oregon, where we are in the process of legalizing psilocybin. So just so everyone kind of has as a disclaimer, the way, you know, this is essentially being used as medicine, not really in the sense of like recreational.
Yeah.
So yeah, I wanted to explore that as well. I had tried some CBD products. I didn't really know if they worked or not. Like sometimes I'm like, oh, I feel more relaxed, but I don't really know. I didn't really have like a whole lot of instruction of what to do with them. It was just kind of take it when you feel like you need it. And I felt very confused about when I would need it. I also was terrified of anything with THC in it because I had taken edibles before that had high levels of THC and had horrifying reactions to it. So I knew I needed to work with someone one-on-one, and I'm sure there's some lovely dispensaries here, but I felt like I needed one-on-one work as opposed to walking into dispensary, kind of just listing what I needed and having someone, you know, suggest something. Like I really needed something more intimate. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you and I had a consultation, and that's what really drew me to you, is like how you customize this to everyone. And you really ask a lot of important questions about what my goals were. You know, you gave me like, I called it like our first thing, like a fun pack, because you gave me different stuff to try. You know, you're like, you tried this, and you wrote out, I love that, you know, I have a separate journal for every, you know, my daily work with the plant medicine that you've given me to record, you know, how it feels. I also keep note of kind of what's going on in the cosmos. Like it's Mercury retrograde right now, but I'll write down like where the moon is in the cycle and what sign it's in, kind of for my own woo-woo-ness. But you know, you were very attuned with, hey, these are your goals and what you're looking for. Let's see what works, what doesn't work. And I really like that aspect too, because I, you know, like you said, everyone is unique with what they need and how they may feel from stuff, and kind of that trial and error playness with it. And that was really important to me. You also made specifically, you asked like what kind of foods I eat, like what kind of time of day. My favorite tincture that you've made is something that I add to my teas. And, you know, you talked about if I like drink tea or coffee. And I really love that, because I feel like for me, if I went into dispensary, no one probably would have asked that. I've only been into two, but I don't feel like that's something I've ever been asked. I've just kind of been asked like if I want to smoke or consume in some way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I definitely, for me, because I don't know a lot about it, I really needed someone I could trust. And, you know, you provide a lot of that. You know, you ask a lot of questions. And I love that you have done so much healing for yourself. Was really important to me. Because I think it's really important with anyone you work with that has to do anything with mind, body, soul, that they are doing their own healing work because on themselves, because it just is, you know, aside from what you have, the tinctures you've made me and that sort of stuff, aside from that, there's also this energy exchange you and I have when we text or we meet up in person, you know, so it's like important to me that I know that like you're taking care of your energy and I'm taking care of my energy too, because I have that empathic absorption stuff.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that like when I say like healing healers, it's really about caretakers, you know, people who in Oregon, we have this cannabis program for recreational, but on the medical side, you can have a medical card and then your caretaker can have a card as well. And that's so that the caretaker can go pick things up for you, but also because they're a caretaker, they're dealing with a lot of stress. They deserve some taking care of themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think even just looking at it in those terms made me really realize that healers, caretakers, people who are exuding energy for other people really need that energy put back. They get it depleted all day, but like not all of them feel empowered enough to take the time to just give it back to themselves. I think that there's an awakening that happens when you're feeling, when you're stepping into healing people or like having that kind of energy. And sometimes it's almost like a drug. It feels like, oh my gosh, I can do this and I should be doing it all day, every day. And you forget, like, I need to take care of me so that I can do this all day, every day. So I think that a lot of the work that I do is reminding people, like, you feel like you're above, like you're a super being right now, but you are still human. Mm-hmm. And you still need these little things for your inner child that's damaged or your inner self that's damaged, because that needs soothing also. And you're putting out a lot of energy.
Yeah.
And I think that the aftercare and the true like hand holding and caregiving on my end feels right. It just feels like it's what I'm supposed to be doing. And I think that it's also for me, again, like a case study. Now I know how these different things affect you personally on a different level, and I have notes of it. So when we try new things or when you want to up level into a new program, we know what worked and what didn't, and things that we might be able to revisit or things that we can just mark right off the list because that didn't work. For me, that informs my practice as well as my own personal practice of like, maybe I should try more of X, Y, and Z for myself because I see it helping these people in these levels. So it's like, it's all of us being guinea pigs kind of, but it does, you know, that's kind of part of it. It's like, we only have 20 years of research around most plant medicines, even though they're prehistoric. So it really takes like, it's called anecdotal research because it's just people sharing stories of trauma and what they tried and what they used and how it worked for them. Because we can't, I mean, that's the only research we really have in this field is anecdotal. And it's really true in spirit guide work and healer work too. Like it's all anecdotal. None of it's going to be written down as fact. So we have to share those stories and accumulate those stories for ourselves and work with people to kind of see how they're doing. I could do a lot of experiments on myself, but I get pretty much the same notes. You know, it's like, I think helping other people really informs me of other traumas, other types of trauma, and how to help people in the future. But I definitely feel like it's not something that can be generalized. I mean, going to a dispensary is amazing for the recreational experience, but it's like going into Walgreens and needing a prescription, but going into just where they have the cold medicine, you know, it's you're kind of in the same store and you're circling around the same things, but some things are going to be specifically formulated for you and they might work a little quicker or they might work a little stronger. So, or you could just use DayQuil and know that it works because you've used it for this long. You know, it really depends on the person, but I think it also depends completely on the plants and the medicine around them.
Mm-hmm. And that's what, so my favorite tincture, you can correct me if I should have brought it up. I should have brought it up here so I could read them out. But it was, I remember when you first told me, you're like, okay, this one has some THC in it. And I was like, but I don't do well with that. But it was great because I believe it was 1 milligram THC to, was it 3 or 4 milligrams CBD?
Yeah, it was 4 milligrams CBD. Okay. Yeah.
And it was great. It didn't make me, I usually add, not every day, but most days, especially mostly on the weekdays, around 3, 4 PM when it's like, cause I stay home Monday through Friday with my son. We don't have childcare right now. Hopefully that changes in 2 weeks because we're looking at daycare. But you know, around 3 or 4 PM, I'm just kind of like overwhelmed with, okay, my husband's going to be home soon. Okay. Like that always causes chaos in the house because the dogs start barking. I start thinking about all the things I can do now that he's home work-wise, but oh, making dinner and how, what are we going to do for dinner? Are we going to eat out? Who's cooked? Like it's, I get overwhelmed with anxiety. And so I really like taking that tincture in my tea. I do green tea around like 3:30, maybe 4 at the latest. And I add that tincture and it doesn't make me like, it calms my anxiety, but it doesn't make me sleepy, which I really like. And it's kind of like that perfect, like it just, it relieves a lot of anxiety for me. I mean, the first, you know, I remember you wrote out everything wonderfully, being like, here's everything I'm giving you to try. This is when you can take it. This is, you know, time of day, blah, blah, like what it, you know, the goals are with it. And so it was really nice. But I remember the first time I took it, I made sure it was on like a Friday when, you know, if it like knocked me out or something, the next day my husband would be here if there was any sort of like, I don't know, negative effect, I guess is how I would put it. I wasn't really, I mean, it was a teacher, so I wasn't like super worried, but I was like, I'm either going to need to go to bed or,
yeah,
or I'm going to be wired and be up all night and need to sleep in the next day.
Yeah. You have to like really, it's like securing your environment, you know, it's like in order for you to feel safe and comfortable, you have to make that safe and comfortable experimentation space. So yeah, I think that, I mean, that I'm pretty sure I even recommended like try it at night, make sure you have all of your like stuff around you that makes you feel comfortable just so that you're in case you fall asleep or what have you. But for some people, CBD can be really stimulating. Some people it can be very tiring. So, So it's good.
Right. And then there was like, I think you did, it was like coconut oil and a little bit of honey and cinnamon. So it tastes like really good in the tea.
Oh, that's great.
But then I wanted to get into the microdosing. First of all, they make these little, I guess they're technically like truffles, right? Like little chocolate.
Yeah.
Oh my God, they're so good. I'm not even like a huge chocolate person, and I'm just like, these are so good. And that's kind of like, I use, initially it was more like ceremonial downloads, like to use for like, you know, like a special when I do like my weekly, like kind of more, on the weekends, like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday is when I'm able to like do a bath and kind of have more alone time without being in the shuffle of the week. And I kind of had to play with that a little bit, but I'm so blown away because I have been setting, and it's interesting. Well, not interesting. I mean, it shouldn't surprise me, but of course it did, right? I have a very active throat chakra. It's really open. But a lot of healing work I've had to do has been around the throat chakra because of ancestral stuff that was passed down to me from my mom because she was silenced about her abuse. I was silenced about my abuse and trauma. And even though it's active, like there's still a bunch there that needs to come out, right? Like I'm like, even part of my purpose in this lifetime is just to not, when I say word vomit, that sounds awful, but like kind of just talk openly about stuff and not like myself. That's like a big part of my healing and purpose. And a big thing for me in healing also has been boundaries and setting boundaries and speaking up for myself. And ever since I started working with you, I've been presented from the universe so many opportunities to do that healing work. And I'm just so thankful for being able to also, you know, have been guided to you to work with you with it. Because I knew I needed something else to support that. I needed some kind of other medicine to get me to this place. But I've been.
It is so great to hear. I mean, really, it's like, it's so nice to hear, but it's also just great to see, you know, we haven't been working together a long time, but it's so nice to see that you're feeling empowered in the effects like already. And that's amazing.
Yeah. It's been, I've just been able to set, even just in this week, which hilarious, right? Because Mercury retrograde, everyone's like, there's communication issues around it. And I'm like, I've been presented things that have been presented to me like, this could be a communication issue, but we're presenting you this opportunity to actually set boundaries and speak up for yourself.
Yeah.
And every time I did it, like when I would speak up for myself or set a boundary afterwards, I would get this huge download from spirit about just amazing. Amazing. It was like, hey, you cleared out this stuff and you're starting to heal this. So now this is able to come through. Oh, I got you.
Awesome. I mean, it's the reward. I mean, it really is the gold star for you. You know, it's like we do these things with our energy and we don't know. Like, I think for me, like I have childhood trauma and it's like, I don't know if I can do certain things. There's a lot of permission stuff with me where I'm like, I need to give myself permission to do this. And it's like with setting boundaries, it's such a big one that can be so difficult. And especially when you work in a field where you're trying to help people. You don't want to cut anybody off from feeling relief or help, but at the same time, you have to help yourself first.
For sure.
And it's really amazing to see you feel so empowered to say, like, no, that's my boundary and I know it and I'm firm with it and I feel good about that. And getting those rewards, like the gold stars right away, is great.
Yeah. What, I know that you do work with other people in the spiritual field, and I'm totally one of those people. It's like, I don't mind if someone else is like, this is my healer. Like, I don't mind if someone else feels I do that work for them and would call me that. I just don't call myself that. So yeah. I'm like, how would you, cause I feel like what's your other work with healers? But I guess, you know, if other people are comfortable calling themselves a healer, great. But yeah. What feedback have you received from anyone who does healing work or spiritual work that you have as clients?
Honestly, it's pretty similar. I think that there is a lot of, I think it just living, being alive in this world, you have anxiety. Like, it's just kind of how it goes. But when you also are a healer or someone getting downloads, it can make a lot of noise around you. And sometimes it's hard to decipher what needs to be heard right away and what is just noise. And I think that the biggest feedback I've gotten with people that I work with is that they can kind of quiet some of that exterior noise or anxiety noise so that they do have clearer downloads when it comes to their work. And I think that that too, like, I've been told that just even just people talking to me, sometimes they get the a calming effect because it's just, I'm just listening and giving them tools and being empathetic and sympathetic to them. And I think that that's something, if you're someone who works in any realm of working with spirit or healing, you are exuding more energy than you realize. So when someone like me comes along and says, are you taking time to take deep breaths after you do this stressful thing? Are you like making sure that you're checking in with yourself? And like, if you need to talk to me and vent, I'm here. I think even that for a lot of people is something that they need. And just knowing it's there gives them more sense of relief and can bring in more clarity because it's not filling that space with anxiety.
Mm.
So I have heard more, a lot about like educating about the plants, and with some of the people I'm training wheels and I'm helping them understand the plants that can work for them and that can unlock certain things of their mind without going too far. I mean, microdosing in what I do is every part of it. We're taking steps to wade into the water. Nobody's diving in head first. And so I want everyone to feel like they're wading into water with someone holding their hand. It shouldn't feel like I'm pushing you out off of a diving board. So I think even just that for a lot of the people I work with is super helpful. But I don't take on a ton of clients. So I really just take on people for certain amounts of time. And then just I'm here for to touch base with them as they like go off on their own journey. And then some people, I'm talking to them, you know, a couple times a week at least, because they're getting such incredible downloads and need to share it. And like, that can be exhausting depending on the work you're doing. You know, some people get physical reaction to it. Some people have mental reaction. So, I mean, I could probably refer them to a dispensary and be like, try these things and buy, you know, $500 worth of products and see what works. But I feel like doing it this way with brands that I've vetted, that I know from soil to sale, the people who touch whatever it is, or the people who make it, the people who grow it, I think that that gives a different experience to the consumer as well. So the people that I work with also are so much like you, where they're like, I don't like weed. I don't get high. Like, I don't want to. And I think that because that's where I started, is I don't want to be high. I just want to be better. Mm-hmm. I think that that helped me, informed me on how to treat people and how to give people micro doses and the different things that can give you maybe a little more anxiety if you're not using it right. And I think even just the warning too, because cannabis is so unknown. Plants are so, even though they're everywhere, people still don't know everything about them. I don't for sure, but I know some. And I think that the unknown is really scary to a lot of people, and not knowing can make them have, like, I have so many people that I work with who are like, weed gives me anxiety. And I'm like, is it cannabis giving you anxiety, or is it not knowing what's going to happen to you that's giving you anxiety? Because that gives me a lot of anxiety, is taking something and not knowing what's going to happen. So I think even just breaking that down for people and telling them, that's not my intention. I'm not trying to get you high. I'm just trying to get you healed. Mm. And that really helps people. It puts it into perspective, because I mean, I can easily help people get high if they wanted to, but that's not really my mission. So it's more about like taking care of the people who are taking care of so many people. And the feedback that I get is really just like that they didn't know that it could be like this. They didn't know that it could be controllable, and they didn't know that they could feel like it was theirs to have and to use however they want to. You know, I think that people kind of put everything in the macro dose realm when it comes to psilocybin or cannabinoids. And that really is, when you're getting high, that's the plant saying you've had too much. You shouldn't be high. Like, it should be controllable. That's how it's supposed to be. So I'm just kind of trying to make it more accessible and more palatable for a lot of different kinds of people. And I'm lucky to work with the people that I do who are able to honor it the way that I do and feel the relief from it and have it help them in their day-to-day life. I mean, that's really the goal. So yeah, when I do get a lot of different feedback from different people, but it's more or less that they feel more guided and taken care of, and that helps them go out into the world and do their work.
Okay. So you are starting your own podcast. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. It's called Anecdotal, and it's really kind of a storytelling podcast. It's talking about stories that I've accumulated through my life, stories about my trauma and then the trauma of other people and how plants help them. But it's also telling the stories of the plants, because a lot of these strains were hybridized by people that kind of shrouded it in mystery. So there's a lot of stories that were handed down about certain strains of cannabis or different plants. And those anecdotes help people understand how those plants can help them, because it helped me kind of understand those plants. So Anecdotal is just sharing the anecdotes around plant medicine and healing.
Cool. When was that launch? When is that going to launch?
I'm looking for launching it in April, because all of April this year is 420. So I'm trying to launch it for April.
Branding, so good.
So I have a lot of stuff rolling out in April, so I figured just put that on the bandwagon of stuff. But yeah, I'm hoping to have at least a couple episodes done and up in April.
Wonderful. Okay, so the last question I love to ask my guests is, do you believe in ghosts? And do you have a ghost story you can share?
Yes, I do believe in ghosts. I feel like I've done a lot of work to almost hide from ghosts and spirit. Like, I've felt really protected in my adult life, but now more than ever in the last even few months, like, people have just been coming out of the woodwork to ask me about ghosts or say that they, I mean, even you, like, coming into my, it just seems like, almost feels like ghosts are trying to get my attention or something. And my ghost story, I have one from my childhood, and I feel like it was kind of traumatic, and it made me almost, I think that kind of started the needing to be invisible to spirit. And I think that's what kept me kind of protected for so long. But when I was probably like 8 or 9, maybe like 7 or something like that, I was pretty young. I was in Alabama and with my mom and my brother, and my mom was dating this guy, and he had a house that was like in a garage apartment. And she had helped him move into it, and she said she experienced like seeing a spirit and being physically paralyzed. And then she once it was like a fog, she said. And then once the fog kind of lifted, she just got out of there and she didn't go back for months. And then she went back with me and my brother for a party. And my brother got really, really sick. And when he was like getting sick, I like ended up like a door slammed on my hand. And I had these like bruises on my hand. So my mom, it just kind of was like all at once. And my mom kind of swept us up and got us out of there. And when we got like a few miles away, my hands were like normal. And my brother wasn't sick. He was like vomiting and he had stopped vomiting. It was a really weird thing. And I had had this like, I was so young and I didn't know what it was like making these things happen, but I did feel relief when we got away from it. And I think that that experience kind of made me feel like I wanted to be removed from ghosts. I didn't want them to see me. Like, but I lived in the South where just about everything is haunted. Like everything has some kind of spirit in it. When I moved away from the South, I feel like I had definitely had some run-ins. I used to work at the Gramercy Park Hotel, which is pretty haunted. I would be in there just like as a chef, like in the kitchen and places by myself. And this would definitely kind of move. People say that Babe Ruth's ghost haunts the Gramercy Park Hotel. So I would always just be like, thanks, babe. All right, that's enough, you know, and then just kind of move on with my day. But in the last year, a friend of mine has like really started seeing spirit and he's kind of a ghost hunter. Mm-hmm. And I've spent more time with him to feel like psychic. We're very psychically connected. And whenever he's really thinking about me, or I can tell, because literally I'll be walking down the street and a stranger will walk up and tell me a ghost story or say, have you ever seen a ghost? Like out of the blue. And I'll text him and be like, are you like thinking about me really intensely or something? And he's like, oh yeah, big time. Like you came up today. And so it's, I think, something that feels like spirit's like trying to get my attention more these days. So I definitely lived in a fearful place of spirit, but now I'm more like open, and I've heard more stories about spirit being helpful to people that I'm more open to, like ghosts. But I'm also still very, try to keep myself protected. I feel like still kind of traumatized from it. So, So there's definitely some dabbling in that realm, but I don't feel like I have the connection. I definitely feel connection with angels, but with ghosts, I don't feel like I have the connection as much, but I feel like they've been trying to get my attention the last year, especially. So
is something this, I need to
dive into.
Is this ghost cat guy?
Yes.
Okay. That makes more sense now. For anyone listening, last time I was at Clint's, I went, do you have a ghost cat? And like, no. And then when I saw you later, you're like, so this person has a ghost cat. And I was like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah. Cause I was like, what? I've never, cause you were like, have you even had a cat? I was like, I've never even had a cat before. And then I was like, oh, nope. I think I know where that is.
I wonder if that's like his little like familiar in a way. And maybe it like pops in and checks on you or something. I don't know.
I could definitely see that. It's like, I've never really had psychic connection with anyone. And my psychic connection with him it's been super intense, like throughout like the last year. So, I wouldn't be surprised. I was like, that actually makes more sense than a cat ghost that would just be here randomly.
So interesting. Okay. So where can we find you on Instagram, Facebook, your website, and if you have any events in March or April coming up besides podcast launching?
I'm Livvy Smalls, LivvySmalls on everything, on Spotify, Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, on all the stuff. On Spotify, I do playlists for the first hour of your high with certain strains. So they just kind of like set the mood for like a nice time with that certain strain. And then my events, I do private events. So if people want to book me for retreats, I take people out. If you've always wanted to try amazing cannabis in a treehouse and have everything catered to you, or like have a retreat somewhere cool where you have a catered cannabis event, I do that. And then next month, I have some private caterings out of state, but I'm going to be doing a collaboration with Zinger Farms, which is an urban farm in Portland. And we'll probably have tickets up for that. And that'll be an all CBD dinner. We'll probably have tickets up in the next few weeks. And then April, since it is all 420, I do have some stuff coming out with a major network that I'm excited to come out, but I can't talk about yet. So I'm going to be doing events in LA and here in Portland in April, but I'm always available for private caterings and private retreats and getaways. Those always tend to be a little bit more fun.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming on this podcast and just, you know, doing your work out into the world. I think especially for those who have had, well, I always feel like almost everyone's had childhood trauma, right? But, you know, it's just nice that people like you have chosen this as their career path. And I appreciate it so much because, you know, speaking for myself, it was something I've been interested in for a while. But I was definitely scared of, because almost everyone I know that uses cannabis, in for the most part, not everyone, but a majority of people I know use it just to get high. So I wasn't even sure if it was an option for me per se. So thanks for your work out in the world.
Yeah, thanks for yours. I appreciate it, and thanks so much for having me on.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of The Woo Woo Report. Make sure to follow me on Instagram at Nicole Baron, NicoleBurron, to stay up to date on everything woo woo.